With us today is Casey Cunningham. She is the CEO and founder of Zinnix. Coming up this January will be the 20th year. Congratulations, Casey. That is quite a run. And we're thrilled to have you here sharing some leadership thoughts with us. My name is Michael Norton. I was the CEO and founder of a company called Tremazing. We were acquired by Zinnix a couple of months ago. And I will just tell you, one of the reasons we made the decision to become acquired and become part of Zinnix is because of Casey. And because of Casey's leadership and her passion for people and performance development. So I'm thrilled to be here as well to help moderate this panel. And down with us, Tom Ziegler. He is the proud son of Zig Ziglar, the CEO of Ziglar Inc. Tom and I have known each other since 1998. Partners, worked together, great friends, brothers. And Tom is now releasing his second book, which we're going to talk about today on leadership. His first book is called Choose to Win. And I kid you not, I've read this book five times. Tom knows it because I underscore the books. I sent him a copy of one of the books that I underscored so he could hold me accountable to living out the principles and Choose to Win. But if you haven't checked out Choose to Win, that's a book you're going to want to take a peek at, because I think Tom, you know, having Zig Ziglar, Tom, as your dad, that's just some awesome shoes for anybody to think they're going to live up to. And what I admire most about you in all of these years is you never said, hey, I'm going to be the next Zig Ziglar. That was never your intent. You are bringing your own style, your own personality, your own wisdom to all the people you're impacting today. So welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Michael and Casey.
So Tom, I'm going to let the audience know here that please stay on till the end, because we do have a special gift. We have a special prize. You're going to want to stay connected. Tom's book is not even released yet. It's just coming out. And we are reserving a copy autographed by Tom. We're going to do a random drawing at the end of this webinar, and one of our lucky participants will receive that book. So hot off the presses when it comes, signed by Tom. So stay with us today. Tom, we are going to start with a question. A question for you, because your whole book right now is the leadership virtues, leading through times of disruption. So I would just question you, what does disruption mean in business in today's world? What's really changed, Tom?
Okay, I can see the chat. So if, you know, if anybody's chatting in and they want to chime in, I love to respond to the chat. But I tell you what, when the pandemic hit, I had a book in mind that I was going to write. The pandemic hit. And so the last over a year, over a thousand articles just studying what's changed in business. So my question is, what isn't disrupted? I mean, it's like everything is disrupted. We work remotely. We work hybrid. There's supply chain issues. You know, we waited 4 months to get our front door for the house. These are crazy, crazy things. And then there's this intense amount of pressure, worry, anxiety. People have really dealt with all the things that are going on differently. And some isolation. If you're working more remote, different industries are different. Realities, but let's just say you're in an industry that was essential and you're still meeting with people face to face. Well, guess what? The people that they go home to, you know, their spouse, their partner, they might have been disrupted. You're having Zoom calls with kids running around in the background. And so what does all this disruption do? Well, it can either, depending on how we look at it, it can either paralyze us and say, gosh, I hope this gets better. When is this going to blow over? Or we can step back and we can say, you know what? I've got a choice here. I can see this disruption as opportunity. There are more problems than there have ever been. And by the way, when there are more problems, that means there's more opportunity. And so I can take the right mindset and go after solving problems. And then if I'm a leader, a coach leader, and by the way, I think everybody's a leader, we also step back and we say, hey, what are my people feeling? What's the team going through right now? What is it that is concerning them? And you start connecting on that foundational level. And that makes a huge difference.
Sure. So Casey, what about you? What do you think disruption means in the business climate today?
Well, if we take it, let's go away from the pandemic for a moment, because I think you did a beautiful job, Tom, explaining the disruption we're all going through. But if you look at it from the other angle and say disruption in business is you're basically challenging status quo. And if you say, hey, I want to be a disruptive business, I want to challenge status quo, and I want to have a blue ocean strategy that no one's thought of, that's ideal. To get people to follow you, you have to make sure that that disruption, that if we call it that, actually has is well articulated in a vision where people want to follow it. When we opened Zinnix, my goal was, and I knew we were, no one had done it, so it was either a really bad idea or I was on to something. As a leader, you have to have courage. I will say that as a leader, if you're listening in, or sometimes you got to take a risk knowing that it won't always pay off. So I wanted to be that disruptive leader. I've always wanted to do something that no one else had done or had taken the risk to do. So I think disruption, and Tom, I've always seen disruption, change, if you want to use the same word. Disruption sounds a little bit more inflated. It's change, but it's opportunity. Disruption just means opportunity. And if you can, every time my children, and I always equate lots of my lessons to my children, and I'm like, if you have a problem, which by the way, life is full of problems, every day, leaders solve problems. If you say to my children, any of you right now, you've got a problem, they will say, I know, Mom, solve it. Don't dwell on it. Look at the opportunity in the solution is going to help drive you actually achieving success, because we all have problems. And to me, sometimes disruption could be intentional or it was thrust upon us, Tom, over the past year and a half for all of us. The good news, the last year and a half, we all went through it together. That was the exciting part. I'm going to call it exciting, but that by no means is exciting. But at least we had that in common.
So as leaders, Tom, I mean, you talked about problem solving. Casey, you talked about problem solving. When people come to us with problems, is it always on the leader to solve those problems? Or how do we teach the people who we're leading how to think about problem solving? What do you think, Tom?
Gosh, Casey, he's asking hard questions. I think that one was for you.
No, I think he called on you. No, to me, you do it, Tom, or I'll jump in.
You go first and I'll follow.
I think, Michael, you know me well enough by now. We're 2 months in together. So for everybody listening in, Tom's got 22 years with Michael. I got 2 months. Well, technically maybe six, eight, because it was a while before we negotiated and got you over. But what a blessing. But I think the empowerment for others as a leader is all about creating a compelling vision and letting it go. But putting people on the right bus, I'm sure many of you put the right people on the right bus or the right seat, you win. I learned early on, and before you joined us, Tom, we were talking about some life lessons, and mine was early on. I learned how bad I was as a leader and how much I needed to learn and grow by being around other great leaders. But the biggest thing that was really powerful for me, Michael, was someone believed in me. And that was the most empowering part of that leader, that they believed I could do it. Even if I didn't believe it in myself, they said it in such a way and they had a compelling vision that convinced me that I could do it. And I think that that's a big leadership challenge right now. Leaders don't realize that you need to build people up and not beat them up. And in building them up, you'll get exponentially more from human beings. And so I don't know if that answered your question directly, but I think the power comes in
there. Yeah, it was going down the right path. And I think I'll kick it back to you, Tom, in a second. But isn't that part of the problem as leaders that we're facing, that stress? And there's so many things that are happening. Sometimes we're short-staffed, we're technology challenged, and in the current environment that we're working in, all trying to figure out what that next normal is, it builds up a lot of pressure, and some leaders fall into that trap of beating their people up and expecting so much more instead of building them up in these trying times. And Tom, I was trying to throw you a softball, dude. I didn't need to trip you up with the problem solving question. Where I wanted you to go was
I'm ready to answer it. I just wanted to learn a little.
I've heard you speak about problem solving and goal setting, because it's really the same formula. And as leaders, we're setting goals and setting the path and setting the vision. Some leaders, some leaders have hard and fast goals, and other ones are just, hoping that they win. And they don't set goals for a number of reasons. One of them we know is they've never really been taught how. But you have a whole philosophy on goal setting and problem solving.
Yeah, so let me talk a little bit about the pressure we're under, the mindset of problem solving, and then a quick solution. So we're under this, we're in this time of challenge, change, and disruption. And I'll use a military example. And I think I may have gotten this example from Jocko Willink, who has written some great, Casey's smiled. I'm not sure if you read his books, but it's kind of like we're in a firefight, right? And so in a leader, there's three places you can be as a leader when there's disruption or a firefight. You can be in your comfortable office, thousands of miles away from the action, leading from the rear. And everybody knows that's wrong. That doesn't work, right? Because that's not what leadership is. Or most people that I come across, they have a heart for leadership. They want to really, they want to win, and they want to be an example. And so what they do is they run into the firefight. Oh, there's a problem. There's a problem. Here, I'm here. I can help. I can solve it, right? And so what happens is you lose access to your vision and your resources because you're in the firefight, right? And you're not equipping and believing in, like Casey said, the people that you've put in those leadership positions, whether they're leading from their own seat as a team member or whether they're in a different hierarchy in the organization. And so where you really want to go as a leader is in the middle. You want to be close enough to see what's happening on the front line so that you can communicate. And then you validate, hey, you're right in the right. How would you handle this problem? Mm-hmm. What are the options that you would recommend? Tell us how, though, and this is another point, tell us how that solution versus this solution, which one has the best chance of fulfilling our mission? And we get our people to start thinking. And we get our team, we build confidence in our team and saying, look, I'm right here, whatever you need. I'm right here. You got this. I got your back. And sometimes it's okay if they go out and don't do it the way you did or would. And it's a great thing if they mess up a little bit and you got a learning experience. Because in times of disruption, the way out isn't doing the system the way we always did it. The way out is adapting to the disruption, creating a new system. And that's only going to happen if you can get inputs from everyone. And so Michael talked about problem solving. Well, at Ziegler, we've been teaching goal setting for over 5 decades. I mean, it's kind of one of the legendary things. A couple of years ago, I came across a study that only 20% of people really dig goal setting. 80% like solving problems. Isn't that amazing? Anybody, if you've ever felt guilty about not being motivated by goal setting, I'm here to take away all of your guilt. If you love solving problems, I've got something pretty cool. The Ziegler goal setting system, you can change the name and you can call it the Ziegler problem solving system. And it's the same system. First off, in a goal, we identify the goal we want to achieve. That's step one. In the problem solving system, we identify the problem we want to solve, right? My goal is to lose 20 pounds. My problem is I weigh 20 pounds too much. See how it's the same? It's the same coin, two sides, but our mindset towards it. The second question in the system, what are my benefits from achieving this goal? Or what are my benefits from solving this problem? What a great question to ask on a problem. If you can't come up with the benefits to solving the problem, it's not your top priority right now. Mm. I mean, it's the third. What what is it that I need to know? You know, I'll just go down a list. What are the things I don't know that I need to know? Who do I need to work with? What are the major obstacles and challenges I've got to overcome to solve this problem? What's the plan of action to solve this problem? And so what I've seen is coach leaders, when somebody on their team says, we've got a problem, what should we do? The coach leader says, what would you do? Okay, fantastic. What's your recommend? Fantastic. Well, let's put it in the problem solving system. Let's go through the seven steps. What do you think? Let them create it. Ownership comes from creation and co-creation. Managers tell. They delegate. Coach leaders engage and co-create. Different scenario. Because at the end of the day, what's a great coach leader? Somebody who knows everything's going to run great when they're not there.
Amen.
I need like thimbles or something. Boom. Drop the mic.
So Tom, in your book, you talk about MAP. What is MAP? What does MAP mean when you
MAP? Okay, so in a business, I think what we really want is maximum aligned performance. So MAP stands for maximum aligned performance. And there's a Venn diagram, and so just think of three circles, okay, that intersect. And in the middle is the map, right? So the top circle is vision and virtues. So the leadership of an organization has to cast a vision, the mission. Here's what we do. Here's the problem we solve. This is why we do it. When we do a good job, this is what happens. And you should really, as a leader, you should be communicating your vision and your mission statement every day. It takes seven times for somebody to hear it once. So that's the vision. The virtue is how we treat each other. It's how we do business. So what are the virtues we're going to live by? A lot of people call them values, or, you know, our character statements and things like that. I call it virtues because it goes with the title of my book, 10 Leadership Virtues, right? I'm clever. So we got these virtues that we do business with. And so that's the top one. And then in the bottom right, there needs to be, there's two words there, compensation and contribution. Gosh, if the business is profitable and I'm exceeding in my role, I want to be compensated based on my contribution. I want, you know, everybody on my team, if they come to me and say, hey, I'd like to earn more money, I want to pay you more money. Well, how does that happen? Well, that's pretty easy. Let's get more profitable, and your role, you're a direct reason we're more profitable. That's just smart and it's fair. Mm-hmm. And then the third circle is goals and growth. Okay. So the vision of the organization, another way to look at that is that's the goals of the organization. This is what we want to do. Each team member has their own goals. And so when I talk about alignment, the alignment is real simple. If I help the organization reach its mission, its goals, then I should achieve my own goals in the process. And growth. People stay where they're growing. People stay where they're growing. There was a survey by Grow Motley, and they asked 500 people who were looking for a job, what are your three things that you're looking for in an employer? And with 10.5 million jobs available and like 9 million or less people looking, we got to tune into this. Here were the three things they wanted. Healthcare benefits. Well, duh, that's what everybody wants. Number two is they wanted a personal and professional development plan in the organization. They wanted the leadership, the coach leader, to say, you're valuable. This is how you're going to contribute. And when you demonstrate these attitudes, these efforts, and these skills, and you grow and learn, here's how you're going to move through the org. This is what success looks like. this is how we reward success. Well, why would I leave a company that I'm aligned with that's helping me achieve my goals while I help the company achieve its mission, where my compensation is based on contribution and they're living out the virtues that I align with? So that's what maximum align performance means.
You know, Tom, on a quick story. So I had the chance to go work for the number one company in a market in the area I was in, or I could go work for my very best friend who I adored, love them. I knew over here I could be number one. Over here, I was going to have to struggle, but they were the number one company. But here I could instantly get recognition. Do you know, I went to my sister, and we all have a mentor, someone in life, and the learning on this question was so powerful for me. What you just said, it validates it. I asked her advice. Sis, I can go work for somebody I know, adore, and love, and I'll get instant recognition. I'll be at the top. Or I can go work for the number one company, where I'm going to start way at the bottom. She goes, I only got one question for you, sister. I said, what's that? She goes, where will you grow? I'm like, oh, no doubt over here. I'll already at the top. I'll be teaching others. I'll get recognition. I'll even maybe make some more money. But here, I will grow. And when I grow and I get to the top, I'm at a different game. And that one question shifted me to go, there was zero doubt I would grow over here. And so I would challenge any leader, and this has like always been big for me. And I even say it to young people who are always interviewing, like, how much money does it pay? And like, oh, you're missing the question. It's like, what can I learn? Where will I grow? Who is my manager that I will mirror? Who is going to teach me what my future is going to look like? And so I could not agree more. By the way, there was another study done that talked about the same thing. Personal and professional growth were in the top. There were 8 levers of engagement. Number one of it was in the top 3 was personal and professional development. And so anybody that's a leader, question is, do you have a professional development plan for every single person in the company for them to grow? And if you do, man, you've got people.
I have a sentence, a one sentence statement that kind of wraps all that up. So a business's objective is to attract, grow, and keep top performers who become coach leaders who attract, grow, and keep top performers.
Love it.
That is, if you want to build a thriving, growth-oriented, growth mindset organization, that's what you do.
Yeah, repeat the process. So, Tom, you used the word in there, virtues. And I think, you know, as I looked at the book and I looked at the, you know, the manuscript, you compare, and I love it, by the way. It's just, it's awesome. I can't wait for everybody to get their hands on this book. But the 10 virtues, you might call them soft skills. How important are the soft skills? Kindness, selflessness, humility. How important are those virtues when you're really trying to run a business?
Well, let's see. If you don't show respect, if you're not kind, and you go through those 10 virtues, does anything else matter? I mean, why would I work there?
It's like, right. But I think a lot of people go looking for the hard skills. Like, what is it? Give me some hard skills, something I can do. Put me through a class that I can learn hard skills to be a leader. When I think what we recognize is the human element and how important that really is.
We have there's a philosophy that Ziegler's known for. It's called the be, do, and have philosophy. You've got to be before you can do, and you've got to do before you can have. And if you want to be a life-changing coach leader whose influence and impact ripples through eternity, then you have to be a walking example of the virtues that I talk about in the book. It just needs to flow out of you. And here is kind of the foundation of that. Everybody says integrity. Zig Ziglar said, character and integrity is my number one reason for success. And everybody probably listening agrees. Well, here's the thing about integrity. Integrity trust is the byproduct of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Can you have a good relationship with someone you don't trust? Impossible.
Impossible.
So what the book goes into in the 10 virtues is, how do I, through these 10 virtues, build trust in my organization, in my personal and professional life? There's not one set of rules at home and one set in the office and one set when you're on a trip somewhere else, right? It's the same virtues everywhere. This is a sales example, and I'll just give us a quick Zig story. We were at a huge event. There was probably 5,000 people there. We'd sold product at the back of the room. This is in the cassette and VHS days some time ago. Michael and I talked about these days many times. So this young person comes up, and he comes to the table. Everybody's left, and he's got two programs in his hand. He says, I'm a brand new salesperson, and I only have enough money to buy one of these courses. Should I get How to Stay Motivated, which is all about mindset and character and integrity and belief and self-image, or should I get Secrets of Closing the Sale, which may be the best sales program on audio that's ever been produced? And he's a brand new salesperson asking me that. So I said, I don't know. I knew, but Dad was there. So I did the phone and Zig thing. I just tapped Dad on the shoulder. He turned around. I said, Dad, I told him the situation. Which one should he get? He goes, How to Stay Motivated. Here's why. You can put all the right skills on the wrong person, and it won't make any difference. And so as a leader, if you are not living out the 10 virtues, all the coaching skills, all the management techniques, all the, you know, things that you can do to be tactically and strategically strong, at the end of the day, you are going to have a day of reckoning where the virtues will be whether you get promoted or asked to leave.
That's powerful.
Mm.
Really powerful. And Casey, we talk, you know, as we're talking about our own programs at Zenix and where we want to, where we want to head, you know, when we think about leadership today and some of the timeless principles and people have talked about over and over and over again, if we're going to elevate leadership, you know, you've grown this company for 20 years now. If you wanted to elevate leadership, what's the one area you would have people focus on to elevate leadership in your own company?
Well, I think actually Tom just addressed it earlier when he said, you know, maximum aligned performance. If you really want to grow your company and, you know, I always say look internally first. How are you as a leader? How are you performing? How are you respected? Because no matter what I do or say, if I'm not respected because of my character and integrity, it's not going to influence anyone to take action. And so, you know, some of the biggest blessings I've been around are those that have this vision of where they're going and are able to articulate in such a manner that people are like, hey, can I come along for the ride? And I would really challenge any leader, myself included, is your vision big enough? Because a majority of people don't want to be on the losing team, or they don't want to just go to practice every day. They want to win the Super Bowl. They want to win the World Series. Because if you want to win the World Series or the Super Bowl, you'll attract the talent that wants to as well. And so I loved the attract, keep, and then grow. And I want to attract the very best in the country. And so in my advice for any leader is look at yourself first as a leader. And I'm going to tell you, I wish I'd had your dad early on, Tom, because I learned through the school of hard knocks of what not to do as a leader. And had the early on in my career, it was all about me. And I figured out very much later, if you will, that it was not about me. And it was about empowering others, and I would eat last. So I go to the back of the room, let you actually fulfill all of the problems and the solutions because you were empowered to. But I didn't know that early on. So I'd say get clear vision, look at yourself as a leader from a character standpoint. There's two types of leaders, transactional, transformational. You got to have a combination of both, but we tend to lean more towards one or the other. The great leaders today are transformational. They get people to want to follow. They clearly articulate a great vision of what they want to achieve. And, you know, there's something from you, Michael, I've learned in the past 2 months. People have asked me, because I have this crazy tongue, Puerto Rican mother. She's 91 years old. I inherited her energy. People always say, where do you get your energy? I'm like, is my mother. I mean, I was blessed. Like, you were blessed with your dad. I was blessed with an incredible mom. My father passed away when I was very young, so I didn't have the privilege of my father. But my mother was a bottled up into all of it. And she would always say, And what you taught me recently is people ask me about my energy, and what they're really trying to translate is my passion for what I do, and for my passion for performance, and passion to wake up every day and do it well and do it exceptionally well. And Michael, you said, you know, no matter what we ever do as a company, and again, this is in 2 months, you made this comment, and you said, we better believe it and it better be true. Because if we as leaders don't believe it and it's not true, then no one's going to follow. And so mine is really, I've always had a passion for what I believe in our mission. And I think that is the contagious piece. So leaders, what are you communicating as well, right? What are you communicating? Your body language, your email, the tone, every aspect, and how often? I'm not sure if that answered the question, Michael, but I agree with you.
You hit the word I was looking for, because I wanted to tie it back to the whole thought about disruption. The word I was looking for that you always use, Casey, and what I've learned from you in just a short amount of time, is being transformational, is what we want to bring to our clients. Even if they're not clients, we always talk about the abundance mentality. If we can help anybody in any way, how can we be transformative in their personal, professional, spiritual lives, whatever it is that we're doing? How do we leave them in a transformed state? And Tom, as we're talking about disruption, I think companies have to be transformed. They have to be thinking about the transformation of their business and their people and where their new destiny is. Wouldn't you agree?
100%. And I want to give everybody a transformational coaching process. And here's the best part about it. I think I can do it in 2 minutes and you'll never forget it. Okay. So at Ziegler, we have this thing called the performance formula. And what it really means is this: attitude times effort times skill equals performance. So if you ever ask yourself, did I have a good day? Just check your attitude. Hey, did I lift the room? Were people glad to see me? Was I a problem solver? Seeing opportunity everywhere I went? Right. Effort. Did I go the extra mile? Did I learn something new today that raised my game? And if we say that's performance, so here's the coach leader coaching process that's transformational. So this is hypothetical, but it'll work. Somebody on your team, you want to help them grow. You ask them a question. Hey, this next year, do you want to make more money, the same money, or less money than you did last year? What are they going to say?
A lot more, right?
If they don't say more, they'll lie about other things too. Fantastic. I want to pay you more. And if your contribution is part of the reason we're more profitable, I am going to pay you more. Would it be okay if we work together on a plan that helped you make more money? What would people say? Well, yeah. Okay. So here's the first question. Why do you want to make more money? So as a coach leader, we got to dig into what our people want, what their dream is, what their goal. Do they want to get out of debt? Do they want to buy a new house? Do they want to travel the world? And if you've got a new person, they might say, I don't know. And what they're really telling you is we don't have a relationship deep enough to share that, right? So you dig into that as much as you can, and you understand why they want to be more successful. Then you say, great, here's the first question in the process. What attitudes can you demonstrate that will allow you to make more money? So you're asking a question. So now they've got to come back to you with questions. Well, what do you mean by attitude? Or, huh, I don't understand. So you explain, well, hey, you know, you're meeting with the customer. How are they feeling before the meeting? Oh, you know, they might be scared or nervous, or do I qualify, or how much is this going to cost? Well, how do you want them to feel when you're done with the meeting? Oh, that everything's handled, that we've got it taken care of. Well, fantastic. What attitudes can you demonstrate that moves them from A to B? Now, this is really cool because we know everybody's got different personality types. Some people are vivacious and energizing and they can talk freely. Others are analytical and detail oriented. So when people start creating their plan with you, they will quickly recognize that I need balance. I need, if I'm a talker and fun and cheerleader, I probably need to have an attitude of concern for the details, right? I got to transmit to them that it's important that we get everything taken care of. Well, you ask that same question on effort and skill. What effort can you demonstrate that will allow you to make more money? Well, what do you mean? Well, it's pretty easy. So they start feeding that in. So now they're telling you what they need to develop in themselves, what attitude they need to work on, what effort they need to demonstrate, and what skill they need to grow. And then you simply say, is it okay if we co-create a plan together that develops those things so you can get your dream? And suddenly you take this hypothetical thing called dreams and goals and wants into a very specific coachable oriented process around a goal they want to achieve. Can you do that effectively if you're not living out the 10 virtues? In the beginning, maybe, but your people will find you out.
You know, Tom, we're in a one of the most exciting times from a recruiting standpoint, because I went from needing to be a local recruiter in my market, and that's where I needed to, now I have the entire country. So I think any leaders out there that are extraordinary, people are going to find out. They won't stay or feel stuck in companies that are not actually pouring into them, because they really have, they're working from home. They can take recruiting calls better than ever. Think about it. Nobody's listening in. Phone rings. They have access to you. So I think by, I love that you mentioned the coaching piece. The attitude, it's attitude, effort, and skill, right?
That's it. Oh, I wrote a book on that.
Hey, how about that?
I was, so the origin story for all of the people who like origin stories, I was speaking in Australia, and this right before the first break, the guy in the room raises his hand and he's like 39. And he says, I love what you're saying, but I need the shortcut. What is the fastest way to success? And I'd never been asked that question. I've been asked, you know, what do successful people do and what are the keys to success? But he said, what's the fastest way? And so I just blurted out, the fastest way to success is to replace bad habits with good habits. We went to break, we came back in, and the host, his name is Steve McKnight, he introduced me. And he told the group, so there's like 100 real estate investors in the room. This was a real estate group and high-end people. And he said, everybody get your pen out. Did you hear what Tom just said? He said, the fastest way to success is to replace bad habits with good habits. So I wrote it down. I'm like, did I really say that? That sounds pretty good. So I go online, I check it on Google and social media. Nobody's ever said that. So I claimed it. So the book, Choose to Win, the byline or the subtitle is, you can transform your life one simple choice at a time. And the choice is to take away a little bad habit in an area and replace it with a good habit in the area. So a bad habit might be, you just show up at work and start your day. Well, what's so bad about that? Well, things happen. What if you did a little good habit, which is the way you closed the previous day, is you just wrote down all the important calls you had, and you kind of put next to it the objective of the call, and you made sure you had access to all the information you needed to have a good call. Well, what you've done is you've activated your mind to start working on solving the problems of those calls before they even happen. So we're talking about 5 minutes, 10 minutes that can radically change your output, your performance, and your outcome. So that's what we mean by replace a bad habit with a good habit. And you can do it in every area of life.
So, Tom, I like to piggyback on that. And if that's okay, Michael, I'll jump in and just. So if I'm asked the same question. There are no shortcuts to excellence. That's sort of the Zinnix thing. There are no shortcuts. You got to just do it, right? But a few simple disciplines repeated daily. Think about that. What's the formula for failure? Subtle errors in judgment repeated daily. And it's really subtle. Most people don't plan to fail. They don't go, I think I want to. It just happens. And they go, well, it just happened. No, it didn't happen. It was very subtle. And it's the simple disciplines repeated daily that will keep you winning. And I like the simple good habits daily will keep you winning. And it's typically the simple ones. It's not the complex or the complicated ones. So again, the formula for failure is subtle errors in judgment repeated. The formula for success is a few simple disciplines repeated daily. So there's a way that you could literally start every morning and shift this overnight. And the simple discipline of asking yourself a key question. What do I need to do today to move the needle in my business, to improve my health, to better have a better relationship with my spouse, to be a better parent, whatever it might be? Ask yourself a powerful question. And as a result, you get powerful answers. And so ask the question, answer it, and then just do it. And that's a simple disciplines you can do every day.
So here's a... That is awesome. That is awesome. So dad's voice was in the back of my head while you were speaking, because that's so concise. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is to tie that to our purpose.
Yes, 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 yes.
Our purpose, our why, our dream, our goal. And then ask yourself this question. If I do what I'm about to do, will it take me closer to or further from my purpose? That is like, that's the ninja question that gets. I try to avoid that question because, you know, I get called to the carpet every time I ask myself that question.
And let's not lose sight, because you know, it's easy for us to do that, right? Maybe not easy, but we think about just ourselves. But if we're here on this call as a leader managing any other, whether it's one person or 5,000 people, how do we help them find their purpose? How do we help them attach it to their purpose? We have to have those conversations.
I had a mentor of mine. He said, how are you doing? I said, I'm overwhelmed. He said, tell me about it. I said, people bring me a good idea and my shoulders slump because I just don't have the capacity to do it. And he said, Tom, you're asking yourself the wrong question. I said, really? He said, yeah, you're asking yourself, how do you do that? Did it ever occur to you that you're probably not the best one to do it? The question should be, who is the best person to do this? And suddenly, that influence circle, when you start thinking about who is the best in a category that you know, and then you start bringing them into whatever that is, and then you ask them, who do you know, who you get your wisdom, that's how you gain in your circle. That's how you get mentors. That's how you grow. And so a lot of times, especially the younger we are, we think everything's on our shoulders. We got to do it. When the real answer is, who's the best one to do it? And that's where we need that circle.